In this episode, my wife Cynthia interviews our kids to share their reflections when Mummy was visually impaired. Hope you enjoy this podcast episode.
Hi, this is Cynthia. Thanks for listening in to episode 11 of my story. Throughout my crisis, people often asked me how my kids coped with my visual impairment and what their faith level was like. Well, I thought it would be cool to hear the reflections directly from my kids. I have two special guests with me today. My daughter, Josephine, age 15.
Hi.
And Evan, age 13.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast, kids.
Hi.
Okay, I'll ask you the first question. Mm-hmm. What went through your mind when Mummy became visually impaired not long after our trip to India, especially since we came home so happy and fulfilled that we had a fruitful time there?
Oh, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that it was really odd to be well in India and you up and running, just like you were, just like there was nothing wrong with you in India. So I think that there was something supernatural happening in India. And without going there, I think this visual impairment would have been, would have come a lot easier, because
easier?
We were in
faster,
yeah, mm-hmm. in Australia if we stayed in there, yeah.
Interesting. What about you, Georgia?
At first I didn't really think much of it because I thought it was like just a side effect from like all the travel and the jet lagginess and stuff, and also because I thought it was just like a backlash from your sickness in India. Mm-hmm. That was miraculously healed halfway. So I thought I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but then as it like progressed and I guess got worse, I started to get nervous and like more fearful because the side effects and the result could turn out permanent. So usually in these sort of crises, I'm usually kind of the weak person, and I'm kind of like if something bad happens, I'll just. We get super emotional and just burst out into tears and stuff. But this time I kind of felt pressured to be stronger and like not tear up every time I see I see Mum in like a bad situation because usually Dad has to be the strong one, and Dad has been so strong for me in my situations, so I thought, like, the least I could do for them now is be strong for Mum.
Oh, that's so sweet. And also to be supportive for Dad, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I'm thankful that you both are very independent. I was sad that I couldn't help you much to get you both fully organized for the new school term. And with Mummy going to the hospital a lot and also having to undergo the urgent surgery to save my sight, I didn't have the headspace to look after you guys. So, yeah.
Well, like, at the time, because, like, school was coming back, I thought, yeah, I felt kind of, like, I definitely had to be more independent and do more stuff by myself. And because I didn't want to rely on Mum and Dad for all those things because they already have so much stuff on their hands. And especially with a lot of assignments in school and lots of assignments and lots of homework. And I had to learn not to rely on the help of Mum and Dad all the time. And so,
Yeah, I was very thankful, Jojo, that you're super organized.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. What about you, Ev?
Well, I had this feeling while I was at school, and, like, I could just feel your stress,
mm.
Almost as if we were, like, connected, going back and forth to the hospital because a lot of bad things were happening, the side effects and all, but I could feel it, and I was stressed myself sometimes.
Yeah, times like this, when one of us falls sick, you know, the whole family is impacted, isn't it? Yeah. So after the surgery, what was it like for you guys to see Mummy's face all, like, terribly bruised up and in pain?
Oh, I remember this very clearly, coming into the room and Mum was just sitting on the couch, kind of just, like, staring off into space. And when I first came in, I was so surprised and stunned of how big of an impact the surgery was and how big of an impact it made on your face. And I just remember you just, like, slowly turning your head and, like, looking at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, like, what do they do to you? And, yeah, I did not expect it to, be so, like, to be such a drastic change. And, I remember when you, when we were on the phone with you, you didn't sound like yourself. You sounded, like, really weak and, like, almost discouraged and, like, defeated.
Mm.
So it was kind of hard for me to know that, oh, my, like, happy, perky mom is now, like, this kind of sad, defeated person.
And there's a lot of drugs that they pump into me, so I think I definitely didn't sound like myself. Yeah. Mm. And Evan, you were away at that time, wasn't it, when it happened?
I was at school camp. The camp was not enjoyable for me because you were having surgery on one of the days of camp. So I became very stressed, and I didn't enjoy camp at all. Mm. And when I came back from camp into the bedroom to see you lying on the bed, I saw that you were holding a picture of me and you when I was a baby, just to remember me while I was at camp.
Mm.
And I remember that I cried my eyes out because I was really stressed. But then even though you were, like, in this state of pain and sadness and discouragement, you were still worrying about me instead of yourself. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that really made me shocked.
Yeah, I remember that day when you came back and you walked into the room, and yeah, when you started crying, I couldn't help but cry as well. Aww. Yeah, remember the day Daddy had to call the ambulance? As I was feeling so ill a few days after the surgery, I just couldn't get out of bed. How did you feel on that day? It must have been so scary for both of you.
Mm. Yeah, well, looking back at it now, I would probably expect myself to be more, like, fearful, and, like I said before, I would be probably more emotional and teary in these sort of situations. But I don't know why, but in the actual moment, I felt, like, this feeling of frustration when you, because you said that you were gonna die and stuff like that, and you didn't even want to listen to reason and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know, I just felt this feeling of frustration and anger in you because you have such strong faith with God, and it frustrated me that you were giving up so easily, and in that moment you didn't mention anything about like God or Jesus or pray for me or something like that. You just gave up, and I don't know, I felt really frustrated, but I did what I could to help you, and I remember I gave you water and I helped you do some breathing and stuff, and I kind of felt like God was helping me to knock some sense into you, to remind you that God is there with you, and
Yeah, I remember that day. It was really weird when I got so weak, and I just felt like I wasn't myself at all, and but I had this feeling like, you know, I just needed to hold your hand, Jojo, and to look at you. I think when you were so determined to knock some sense back into Mom, and
I tend to have that effect on people.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it definitely worked on me that day. And yeah, I just felt I needed to focus on your face and your voice. And your voice was what I needed to listen to, a determined voice, you know, come back, listen to my voice and just breathe, Mom, just breathe. I remember you were counting the seconds for me, and then I would breathe, and I was a lot calmer then. Yeah. What about you, Evan?
I was really scared. You weren't acting like yourself at all. I remember you were shouting at the reception that picked up.
Oh yeah, because the person who needs to check whether that the patient needs the ambulance or not. Yeah, I know. That's
you
so
were
weird.
You were shouting, and you
were
like
really angry with that person.
Yeah,
wasn't
you were
I?
Like, I don't like you. And I don't want to talk to you.
You were like that angry soccer mom.
I was not myself that day. I was in pain.
Crazy. But when the ambulance came, I knew that everything was going to be all fine, and I became really calm, and I didn't need to worry that much anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. When Mummy's sight didn't improve after the surgery, you know, the bad news hit me pretty hard. I remember one evening I was crying so much, and you guys came in and comforted me. And I remember Jojo saying, "Everything will be okay, Mom. It's all part of the journey to recovery." And the word journey jumped out to me as I realized I was like you kids on a long trip. And I was asking God, "Are we there yet?" I'm amazed at how confident you both are. What makes your faith so certain that I'll be okay?
Well, I guess because you would always, well, not always, but like you would tell me the story of when I was like still a baby, and you would call me like a miracle child because I needed to have a massive surgery when I was like less than a week old, and like it whenever I watch the news, I always see like, oh, this guy died, or that person is now injured and in hospital. And it seems like so many bad things in this world is happening, and it seems impossible that that one baby could survive this this life-threatening thing, and everyone else is like suffering. But you guys already said that God was there with me, and well, like, I'm here now, so
yeah.
I survived, yay.
Yay.
So that is my biggest source of truth, and I always go back to that, to just like remind myself that God can do miracles.
Yeah, that was so scary when you had to go under the knife before you were a week old, Jojo. What about you, Ev?
Because, for me, because we knew God was on our side, through a lot of things, like Jojo's surgery and all, I thought that it was all gonna be alright. And it is all right. I mean, you're here and your eyes aren't bad at all. We have a whole lot of people praying for you. We had a whole lot of people praying for you back at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple life groups, relatives. Just the feeling of that makes everything feel so peaceful and everything will be okay. It gives me that feeling.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, we conduct a communion at home a number of times when mommy couldn't go to church. What did you think of those moments?
I think it was really good family bonding time. Moments like that when all our members of our family are in one room, when mm-hmm. we're getting pretty rare, like other than having dinner and like, you know, being distracted by food. I think it was cool for all of us to come together as a family, interact with each other and talk as a united family with God.
Mm.
And yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. What about you, Ev?
Every time after communion, we would say, "Peace be with you." I felt whatever bad feelings we had in the house would just vanish when one of our family members would just say that to us. I would just feel peace and all the bad stuff will go away and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it? The feeling of, God's peace staying with us. Yeah. Are you happy that we have our grandmas living with us?
Yes.
They've been so much help to mm-hmm. us, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Throughout the crisis and even today.
Yeah, like, when they would go on the little, like, overseas trips back to Malaysia and London and stuff like that, it really makes me appreciate them so much more because, like, when Mama would go, I couldn't even get out of the house because Mom and Dad are always at work. I'll be stuck in the house. I can't go out and I have to cycle to school. And then I've had to walk to school. And with Papa, it was like I had to wash the dishes myself, do food myself, and do all the and help with the laundry and everything. And like it makes me feel so privileged, like a lot more privileged that they are right here with us and they do so much. So I'm definitely glad that they're with us and they could help us through the crisis.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, for me, I really love their extra support. They're like, I would be a much different person without them. They're really good, really nice, and our lives would not be the same if they were not here. I personally, I really love my grandmas because, I own a, fish tank, and if a big fish tank, and when I go, overseas or away, mm-hmm. then they can always check up on the fish. That's not the only reason,
sitters.
Yeah, fish sitters. Yeah, fish sitters.
Yeah. Oh, we're so thankful and grateful that the grandmas are with us, isn't it? Yeah, been so supportive. And how did you guys feel about Mummy coming back to serve at Kids Church with you guys again?
Ev, do you want to go first this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was happy and inspired that somebody has been through so much still want to do what they want. It taught me to never give up. I still can't believe that you were able to get up from all of your pain, even though you're in pain and you can't see, may not see the kids that are in Kids Church. You're still serving. that really touched me.
Aww.
Well, I felt very nostalgic because it was the first time in a long time that the whole complete kids leaders group were together, the full team.
Yeah.
And I felt very happy, and I felt happy because I knew a lot of kids missed you, and I know they like you as like a mother figure or even like a big sister to them, so I knew they would perk up to see you.
Oh, kids, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It was great coming back to serve with you guys and with the team, and I felt that it helped with my recovery as well, you know, just being plugged into community. So do you each have a favorite verse this year you want to share with our audience and why?
Well, for me, it's Romans 12 verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In school, we were taught about the connections. It got drilled into my head.
But sounds painful.
That it gave me, it made me learn, it made me learn that no matter who you are, and what you're doing, you're still a part of Christ.
A verse that I've kind of liked this year is Deuteronomy 31 verse 8,
mm-hmm.
which is the Lord will be with you. He won't abandon you or leave you. So do not be afraid or terrified. I like this verse because I think it's kind of cool because I recently did a devotion with this verse. And I think it's pretty cool that I just randomly chose this verse for my devotion, and then it's relating to our this podcast now, and I'm like, wow, like this this is it can't be a coincidence, right? So
yeah.
I think that's pretty cool that it relates, especially with the journey, and the Lord will be with you.
Definitely.
This year I definitely felt like a lot of things went a bit backwards or sideways, and like a lot of things didn't really turn out the greatest, and like even times like, oh, this day can't get any worse, or in those moments I may not have had God at like my first aid, but this verse reminds me that God will always be there. Like at school, even when I didn't get something, this verse reminds me that I was still part of something bigger, and it did happen at school, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. So, what's your advice to kids and teens out there when their loved ones are unwell?
I'll go first. I'd say don't be a crybaby. I mean, like, I know I'm kind of emotional. I've said this like 3 times already, but like, yeah, be strong for them. Be that rock that they need. Support them in their lowest moments, because they've probably been there in your lowest moments. So you can return the favor by being strong for them and being a reliable source for them. Yeah.
Wow. What about you, Ev?
For me, it's just believe that they'll be all right. And if you keep on believing, they'll be all right. It's that simple.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's cool. Well, I just want to thank you kids for taking time to do this very special podcast episode, and I just want to say to the both of you that I love you both so much, and you are truly amazing kids, and...
Yeah, we are. No. Don't put that in.
It is in.
No!
Okay, so thank you for your time, kids, and I hope that people who are listening in will be blessed by your responses and how you both, you know, in spite of being impacted by my crisis, I think from your own journey yourselves, the both of you have also grown tremendously this year. So yeah, so thanks again, love you both, and high five. All right.
I hope you've been inspired by Cynthia's incredible journey. Please subscribe and share this podcast to people you know who will be encouraged by her story.